Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 128 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. I am one of your hosts, the numerically challenged Eric Walquist, and with me, as always, is my friend, my confidant, the best man at my wedding, and I'm almost his child's godfather, but not quite.
Jesse Wilson the second first. Sorry, what? I'm also...
Yeah, it's tough, man.
I'm also a little numerically challenged today.
It is tough. Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You kind of threw me off with that almost godfather.
Well, let's just say never forget.
Wow. Well, you get the next one, buddy.
All right. That's a promise.
Yeah. Well, you knew what the deal was. You got the godfather nod if it was a boy,
right.
And it was not.
Right.
So, well, don't blame me. Blame my daughter.
You forced me no choice. Now I have to start my own mafia family and recruit all of your children so that I am their godfather.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right. Jesse, how was your week?
Are we going to talk about it?
I feel like I can now. I feel like I can. I couldn't. Okay, we'll just get this thing out on the table.
Yeah.
Les Miserables won the Golden Globe for Best Comedy / Musical. And I was cheering for Silver Linings Playbook.
Mm-hmm. Robbed.
Robbed. No, it's the Seahawks. I know. Topical Gold Globe humor. That really cracks everyone up. But yeah, the Seahawks lost.
Heartbreaker.
Heart crusher.
Yeah.
Heart smasher. Heart milker.
They went beast mode on my heart.
Yes! That's what it would feel like. I would much rather have Marshawn Lynch just run directly into my chest wearing full gear than to have that happen. The ups and downs, man. Terrible in the first half. Terrible in the first half. Then a miracle comeback in the second half. We take the lead. We're going to win. And then we just lose.
Know what I call it?
What?
The miracle.
Yeah.
Because it was nearly a miracle. I missed the entire first quarter.
Oh, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but I was in the car. I was driving to my mom's house. I was running late because I got stuck behind a boat on the freeway.
You do know that they have the games on the radio as well.
And yeah, so I was listening to it on the radio.
Uh-huh. Steve Rabel.
Yeah, and I actually find that I really enjoy radio broadcasts.
I can't do it with football. See, this is the whole thing. Like, I prefer listening to baseball games on the radio. But football games, you just don't get the picture. Football is a TV sport.
Yeah. I mean, you get kind of the picture. What I like is that they always say the players' names, and they don't do that on TV.
That's true.
And they always tell you, like, who made the tackle and who's involved on the plays. I think next season I might just listen to the radio and watch it at the same time.
Unfortunately, radio does not have a delay. But television does, because if a new naked guy runs out on the field, the radio station doesn't care, but the television station does.
What if the radio station starts graphically describing the man's penis?
They actually do that. It's part of the broadcast.
That would be interesting.
It's a deterrent.
We got a real flapper here on the field. In a pendulous motion, swinging from side to side, from the 30, the 25, and is brought down by security at the 18.
Oh,
Steve!
Man.
From Nashville made the tackle.
The fat bald guy.
The fat bald guy.
The fat bald guy with the tackle. The wiry methed out guy with the assist.
But here's the thing. So Seattle goes down by 7, right?
Yeah.
And they're making a drive to come back. Mm-hmm. And the radio broadcast is not great. It kind of fades in and out. And just all of a sudden we'll go like...
Right. AM radio, baby.
And... right when during the Marshawn run, I get to a stoplight and it's just nothing but like a loud noise. And then I could vaguely hear just like chaos over the radio. And that ended up being the fumble.
Oh, yeah. That was rough because we just got the interception. It was just like everything was just like, ugh. And then let me just go because I researched this, Jesse, and I think I actually went through the Kubler-Ross 5 stages of grief with this game.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So
anger, denial.
No, first is denial.
You're right.
And I was like, this is fine, whatever. Anger came pretty quickly. I don't know if I actually hit the dial. I think I went straight to anger. You know, after the game was over. Then it's bargaining, right? Which is like, which for me was saying, why didn't we take the points in the first half? We were on the 20-yard line and we went for it on fourth down instead of taking the gimme field goal that, and then we lost by 2 points. If we had those 3 points, we would have won. Bargaining. Uh-huh. Then depression, very sad, questioning my entire belief in sports and questioning my fandom as a Seattle fan. I was like just walking around moping saying, why do I devote so much time to this? I could be doing so many other things. Mm-hmm. Being a Seattle sports fan is like being punched in the balls every year over and over. And then now I'm in acceptance mode because I think I realized that, yes, this is what I signed up for. I am a Seattle sports fan.
Right. So my boss, he was gone for almost 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Christmas, New Year's, went to Hawaii. He comes back. The first day he's back, he's like a super sports fan. Super Seattle sports fan.
Yep.
The first day he's back at work in cold Port Townsend, Washington, is the day after the game, that Monday. And he was such a sourpuss all day.
Dude, grouch mode.
He was in super grouch mode. Yeah. And then it started snowing at work. And, like, we were working outside and, like, both of our hands are freezing. Mm. And just, like, it was real depressing. But here's what I want to say.
What?
If you take sports to the part, just to the level where if your team loses and you're projecting those feelings on other people and bringing them down, you're taking it too far and you have a legitimate problem.
See, that's, I feel like it's all, I don't know. I don't think anybody's intentionally trying to be mean to other people. If that's the case, then that is the thing. I become a sourpuss just because I'm pouting.
I know. And if you let it affect other people's lives, you're taking it too far.
Well,
it's like alcoholism. You have a problem when you're starting to affect other people's lives and bring them down with you.
It is true. It's like my brother-in-law, he's just as big a sports fan as me as far as like following the teams. But he has gone into the Zen mode of Seattle losing. And because he accepted it early, he was a big fan of the 94 Sonics, who had the best record in the Western Conference, were going in as the number one seed and then lost to the Denver Nuggets in the first round. And ever since then, he had his hopes crushed when he was a young child, and that happened to him. And so now that jade has fallen over him, and I feel like that is what this game has done for me.
Right.
Is now I'm officially a jaded Seattle sports fan.
Well, that's fine.
Much hope.
Just think of the people around you if you start actually, like, becoming a butthead over it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's, I don't know. Or get in a codependent bummer relationship with another sports fan.
See, I didn't even want to talk about it, like, on Monday. I was just, like, processing. Because, like, it's such an emotional roller coaster. And then people are like, well, we got a good team, you know, next year. I'm like, fuck next year. This was our year. We were the team of destiny.
Yeah, the problem is that people were getting so far ahead of themselves, and like on Facebook, everyone's like, Seahawks Super Bowl is going to be great.
Yeah,
we're going to be playing the 49ers in the divisional games, in the championship game. So hopefully we'll win that one. It's like, we got to beat Atlanta first, guys. And everyone just thought we're going to waltz over Atlanta.
We shoulda, coulda, didn't.
It's disc golf season, guys. Get some beers, get some discs, go into the woods and throw stuff.
Pitchers and catchers report
preseason football.
Pitchers and catchers report in 3 weeks.
Oh God! See, I'm not going down that road,
Jesse. It's a matter of time.
Yeah, I could prove it. I'd never got into college football. I tried and couldn't do that. If I can't even get into a different type of football, I'm not going to get into an entirely new sport.
College football is its own thing. It's a corrupt system. It's basically a slavery-based system where colleges make... It is! They're basically slaves. They're just like these kids who are sacrificing their bodies so that their schools can make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then if the kids do anything to make themselves some money off of their talent, off of their God-given talent... then they get sanctioned. It's ridiculous. The college football's that's like you could say what you want about professional football, but college football is like one of the most corrupt things in America, in my opinion.
Well, this has been Sports Chat.
This has been Sports Chat.
On KBON The Bone.
Brought to you by the Kia Sorento. Step into a 2014 Kia Sorento. That's right. They're so new and still so old.
I talked to the guys at Kia and said that was a weird, confusing motto, but they said they liked it.
Yeah.
It tested well,
it tested
I guess.
Tested really, really well. Speaking of testing well, I want to get some listener feedback before we dive into the show. We got some great phone calls, and I want to start off with Josh from Texas, because Josh from Texas called us last week. We couldn't understand a single word he said. Told him to call back. He said, okay, and then called back and followed our directions and gave us a very enlightening call.
Right.
So, Josh from Texas, let's hear what you had to say.
Hey, personal arrogance, guys. This is Josh from Texas, calling y'all from an actual landline, and I am working on my nuptating, or whatever you had called it earlier in the podcast. I was just getting back to you guys. I feel like y'all live in the moment, and it's like what happens on the podcast for that time is what happens. Next podcast, y'all move on. Y'all do recap, but it's not too much. But I was speaking about last week, though, real quick. It sounded like you guys were using a lighter. Two podcasts back, and it just was really not annoying me, but it was just kind of, I was turning my radio up just so I could hear. It's like, what the heck is that? I mean, are they smoking or something? All I could hear is like a lighter noise. Anyways, I drive from Austin to Houston Monday through Friday, so it's kind of a long drive. I've got plenty of time to listen to you guys and crack up what y'all talk about. But anyways, checking in with you guys this week and returning the call because I ain't scared. Keep on making fun of me. I bet people named Josh out there that are listening are like, damn that guy. I literally stepped out of my car and kicked myself in the ass because I did sound like a moron. I don't know. That first part, I was like, I can't talk like that anymore. But it's me. That's who I am. So anyways, guys, the muffling, all that stuff. Call me Excuses McGee. I drive from Houston to Austin. This is the way it goes. I have a car. It makes noises. I have the window down a little bit. That's probably what y'all heard. Inevitably, I ask my wife. She says, yes, I always hear that, Josh, but I get over it because she just loves talking to me. Hey, what can I say? Let me see. What else was I going to say? I checked out that Boardwalk Empire and tried to catch up with it. I'm only in season 2, but I've actually been Googling the guys' names, and there's true history behind this stuff. It's crazy. I mean, that Jimmy Darmody guy, there's a picture of him if you Google him. You got to go through the pictures. And actually, if you keep going through the pictures, it spoils you, so don't look too far into it. But I guess, guys, I'm going to keep bothering y'all unless y'all say don't bother y'all. And if you hear some more noise in the background, that is my wife vacuuming. Get off my back.
Get off my back.
Well, Excuses McGee.
Yes.
It's good to hear from you, for one. And two, we've gotten a little bit of feedback about that noise.
Yep.
It keeps coming up.
We have.
I want to apologize.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize it was audible, and it was me just playing with one of those knives that are like hingy, and it goes back into the handle, you know?
Yep.
It swings around, and I was playing with that. So sorry.
Yes, you totally weren't giving yourself a pedicure.
Get off my back.
I love that. That's how I'm going to end all my calls from now on. Get off my back.
Only work-related calls.
I love it. I love it. There's so many things I love about that phone call. First of all, I love that that Josh from Texas can literally kick himself in the ass.
You can't?
No, not front ways. I'm envisioning toe first.
Wow, like over the head?
I don't know. I want to see it.
No, you can kick yourself in the ass with the heel.
Oh, okay.
Heel kick.
Nah, that's not a kick.
That's true.
It's a stomp.
That's a butt
stomp.
An upward stomp.
Yes. And then the second thing is, it's true, Boardwalk Empire, you know, it is historical based, and if you don't want to research too much because you could could get some spoilers. And, you know, I made that mistake with with Lincoln, and it completely ruined the movie for me.
Yeah.
So don't Google Lincoln, because that will totally screw up the film for you.
I won't.
Yeah.
I also spoiled Boardwalk Empire for me. And it turns out he gets killed in a parking lot in an altercation with nihilists.
Yeah. Yeah. I am wondering, has anybody gone back and actually put Steve Buscemi's eyes on him? You know, the whole Steve Buscemi's eyes thing.
Right. Oh, on the actual
On the
guy.
Actual guy.
That would be pretty funny.
It would be hilarious.
Should do that.
So let's try that joke one more time, Jesse. You can laugh. Has anybody put Steve Buscemi's eyes on him? Yep.
Good question, Eric.
I know.
They should make a Steve Buscemi potato head doll. Mr. Potato Head.
That would be awesome. Famous celebrity face parts. Potato head.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi's eyes. Angelina Jolie's lips.
Uh-huh. That guy from the Razor commercial, his nose.
Which guy?
Adrian Brody.
Oh, Adrian Brody's nose, yes. I was thinking Michael Jackson's nose, but they can be interchangeable.
Yeah, that's the whole fun of it.
Will Smith's ears.
Mm-hmm.
And Barack Obama's ears.
Yeah.
So we also got one more phone call, and this is our Connect the Dotsy for the week, because Roger Dotsy decided to ring us up and complain to us a little bit. So here's Roger
Dotsy. You all thought we made him up.
Well, you thought we did. Here's Roger Dotsy complaining.
Hey guys, it's Roger Dotsy. I was just calling to follow up on your best of 2012. I know I suggested doing this segment. I will say I take issue with a few of the categories and what you decided. First of all, the color Grey Wolf, I'll buy it, but not because it's part of the Seattle Seahawks colors. I'm sorry. I realize you all live in Seattle, but the world does extend past that city. And you ask someone in Jacksonville, Florida, are they going to say Wolf Gray is the color of the year because of the Seahawks? I don't think so. I'll give it to you because there's gray wolves are part of the dire wolves of House Stark in Game of Thrones. Moving on. Animal. Give me a break. Baby octopus. Why? Why would they be the animal of the year? In 2012. You just tried it in 2013. Because it's your podcast, we know a cephalopod has to win, mm-hmm. So I'll give it to the giant squid.
Good call.
Finally, right. Ginger of the Year. Might I humbly suggest, this one, at least your answer was okay, but I'm going to suggest Damian Lewis, who portrays Nicholas Brody on Homeland. Does a great job getting a lot of awards, doing great work. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, you guys rock. Keep it up. And peace out.
Peace out, Roger.
Get off my back.
Get off my back. One thing about that is that I actually did some research on it. In Jacksonville, Florida, there are actually more Seahawks fans than Jaguar fans.
What?
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
How do you do that research?
That's a joke because Jaguars don't have any fans.
Oh, good one, Eric.
That's a joke.
Again, you're just too funny for me.
I know. What can I say? I'm the heady guy. I'm like Shel Silverstein up here.
Mm-hmm.
Roger.
You know, he wrote a lot of like classic rock songs.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think he might have been a fan of the Green.
What? Green Day?
Yes.
Because I don't think they were around.
Yeah, he actually wrote Dookie.
Yeah, it's masterpiece.
Yeah, it's his masterpiece. All right. Well, we got some other stuff on our Facebook page. We'll touch on that at the end of the show. I think we got to get this thing rolling, man.
Yeah,
But we do want to thank everybody for calling in this week. We love it when you call in. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than grinning and laughing to myself sitting on the bus listening to one of your phone calls. So please give us a call at 360-362-0024. That's 360-362-0024. Just like Ken Griffey Jr.'s number. Jesse, you got your 20-sided die?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Griffey 24?
Yeah, baby. That's why
I
picked
Marshawn that Lynch.
Oh, and Marshawn Lynch.
And the day of my birth in August.
Excellently done.
Nice.
And Jeff Gordon. That's the real reason.
Is he the Gordon Fisherman?
In the off season.
I rolled a 17, Eric.
All right, I rolled a 15. You edged me out, so what's your first topic?
Okay, Eric, I'm going to... let me paint a picture here. I'm on Steam, right?
Jesse, this is a podcast. If you paint a picture, nobody's going to be able to understand it.
This is the Bob Ross cast.
Okay.
So imagine you're on a happy little Steam.
Okay. Little Steam
and over
cloud.
Here, there's a cute little Steam sale. As you know, they advertise games on this distribution service, Steam, video games.
Right.
That you might be interested in.
Yes.
And the deal is for Aliens Colonial Marines, which is coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And this game, we've talked about before. I saw it at PAX twice, and it looks really cool. I'm really excited for it. It is the official sequel to the movie Aliens.
Right.
James Cameron.
It's the sequel to Alien, right? Oh, no. Colonial Marines is the sequel to Aliens. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the video game is the official production studio sequel to the movie Aliens.
Right. Okay.
So they have a pre-order bonus. If you order now, you get a special weapon that you can only get by pre-ordering it through Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a gun with a chainsaw attachment, which is kind of hacky.
Okay.
Pardon the pun. This has been done in like sci-fi. Warhammer 40K has been doing like chainsaw guns forever.
Right.
And it's called the Sharp Stick. Okay. And it's an acronym, SHARP Stick.
Yep.
That's the name of the gun. So, uh-huh. Eric, I'm going to need you to play a little clip.
Okay. And do we have the clip? Oh, we have the clip. Here we go.
Check it out. Hey, Ripley, don't worry. Me and my squad of ultimate badasses will protect you. Check it out. Independently targeting particle beam phalanx. For half a city with this puppy. We got tactical smart missiles, base plasma pulse rifles, RPGs. We got sonic electronic ball breakers. We got nukes. We got knives, sharp sticks.
Knock it off, Hudson. All right, gear up. 2 minutes, people. Get hot.
I heard it.
So that's possibly my favorite movie quote of all time.
Right. And we got sharp sticks.
We got sharp sticks. Mm-hmm. And when I was 17 years old, I got my first cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And my voicemail message was me quoting that entire sequence of lines. That's how important it is to me.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. You're probably very annoyed by it if you called me twice and got my voicemail. Because it's kind of long.
That's just your buffer. If you want to leave a message, you really got to want to leave a message.
Exactly. But here's my problem with that. That whole speech, that whole brilliantly written thing, it tells you a lot about Hudson, the character who's expressing this,
right?
About how he's cocky, he's gonna protect Ripley, they're gonna fight down to the last man standing, they're gonna use every weapon from nukes down through their shotguns, whatever, flamethrowers, down to even if they have to sharpen a stick and stab an alien in the face with it, they're gonna do that for you,
right?
That's
This is his, shows you also he's like a career soldier. This is what he loves. This is his passion. And Bill Paxton is just, this is like my favorite role Bill Paxton's ever done.
Yeah. I mean, he was good in Predator too. But moving on.
Uh-huh.
But it also shows you the humor of this character. I mean, that's a funny line, sharp sticks.
Right.
But now, in the official release of the sequel to this movie, they have created an item which changes the meaning of that amazing speech, because now he's not actually talking about fighting with sharpened sticks. It's like, and now we will fight with this other weapon, which is coincidentally called a sharp stick.
Yeah, that's true. Changing the canon, man.
They've changed it. And I mean, at what point is it a difference between an homage and a retconning, retroactive continuity?
Right.
And I think they've totally flubbed it with this one.
They have. I agree with you. I think that but it all depends on what you think is canon, because there's four real alien movies. Now there's the prequel. There's Prometheus, which is his prequel. You got the two Alien versus Predator movies. So this is a mythos that's pretty much been bastardized since its inception.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. But I don't know. Like,
yeah.
when I went and I saw, stood in line for over an hour to see the preview of the video game Aliens Colonial Marines that they were showing this, they went out of their way, like, to reiterate that this is the official sequel. This is real canon. This is super duper official sequel to Aliens.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know. I just feel like since they're taking on that responsibility, it was their responsibility not to screw up something from the original movie. Like, if this had been just a cheap knockoff game that was licensed out, like, some, I don't know, where they don't really care about copyrights or anything.
Right.
Then I would be fine with it because it's a funny homage. And it is funny. It's the sharp stick. Get it? Sharp sticks from earlier. Now this is the thing. It's a sharp stick. It's got a chainsaw on the end of a gun.
Yeah.
But they've destroyed the sanctity of their own property by doing this.
Yeah, and I think that this is something we're going to have to get used to as well, as video games are going to be extending the canon. I mean, this has kind of already happened. There was the... as far back as like when The Matrix Reloaded came out, and then they had a video game that was like an alternate story that went along with the story that was in the movie. And
right.
Also, Watchmen, when the Watchmen movie was released, Zack Snyder's Watchmen movie, they released a downloadable game, which I bought, which was very repetitive but still fun because you got to play as Rorschach, but you didn't get to shoot any guns. And anyway, it was still fun. But I think this is something we're going to have to get used to, is that video games are now going to become a pretty big part of the canon.
Right. And with that, I mean, comes a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm blowing this entirely out of proportion.
Well, it is a downloadable extra on a Steam sale.
Right. But it's just, this is my favorite thing ever, the speech.
Do you think that maybe this is not... this is not a retconning, but this is just an homage to that speech. And maybe this doesn't fit into the canon because it is such a goofy add-on.
See, I would be in the stage of denial.
Right.
If I was to believe that, because it's not. What they have done now is, when I watched the original movie, like I did probably like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, when I listened to that speech, now... it's like totally thrown off because this Marine would obviously know about this weapon that apparently he's stocked with. And this is part of the official storyline. So it stops being an homage and it just becomes like, you screwed it up and you've kind of tainted this whole thing for me.
Well, that's a bummer, bro.
Yeah. It tastes like copper, bitter copper in my mouth.
Yeah. You're like a kindergartner. You just ate a bag of quarters.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Well,
those don't
we probably digest. Shouldn't get derailed, but I just want to say currency is disgusting.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, Jesse, I'm sorry. It's a bummer, man. It's a bummer. Like, and this is something that we've all been through. You know, the Star Wars prequels, you know, put us through this.
This is my Star Wars prequel.
This is your Star Wars prequel. It's the video game sequel to Alien, James Cameron's Aliens, which was released in like 1981.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do, man?
I don't know. I just think you need to be more responsible with your property.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you are getting that kind of, you know, it's the fanboyism, man. It goes both ways. There's a fanboyism that, like, I like this, but now everybody else likes this, so now I don't like it anymore. And then there's the fanboyism of, like, I am very protective of this because I love it so much.
Right.
So it's the heavy weight that we bear as fanboys of our favorite property.
Maybe I just need to come to acceptance.
I guess so.
That's the moral of the podcast.
Well, you have to bargain first. Why don't you give him a call and just write him an email? Some bargaining.
Intern, what's the new intern's name? Leo?
Yeah.
Leo, can you get James Cameron on the blower? Thanks.
Do some bargaining, then get depressed about it, and then you'll be accepted.
Right.
There you go. All right. Well, my first topic this week is going to be about that very thing that we had just referred to, and that's that Star Wars, baby.
Oh, yeah?
And that Star Wars canon.
There's been some Star Wars hubbub.
Big hubbub. So,
that's my name in Hawaii, by the way.
Oh, that makes
big
sense.
Big hubbub.
Mm-hmm. So Zack Snyder, who is just wrapping up the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, which will be released this summer. It's been announced that he is developing a Star Wars movie. So basically, you know, Disney bought Star Wars from Lucasfilm, back in, I don't know, fall time. And, back in fall time. And basically Disney was like, well, we're going to start making movies in 2015 and release a movie every 2 years until everybody's so tired of Star Wars that they're going to rip their hair out.
Uh-huh.
So everybody assumed that, well, Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be released in 2015, which it is. And everybody assumed in 2017 that you were going to get Star Wars Episode 8. But that may not be the case because there's been a bunch of news coming out. So Zack Snyder, who's the director of Superman, he directed with The Watchmen. He directed the original Dawn of the Dead remake, the original remake. And he also directed probably his best movie, 300. He is apparently developing a Star Wars movie based on the Seven Samurai, where you follow seven Jedi warriors going on a mission, and it'll take place sometime in the time frame after Episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
So between 3 and 4. I'm all for this.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really screw it up more than it's already been screwed
exactly,
up.
Exactly. And, like, what was wrong with the first Star Wars movies? With the prequels? They were directed by George Lucas.
Right.
So just let somebody else do it.
It's like they took a solved Rubik's Cube and then mixed it all up with the prequels.
Right.
And then put it down.
Right.
And it doesn't really matter if someone picks it back up again and starts playing with it because it can't get any worse.
Yeah, and I feel like this
unless I start calling lightsabers sharp sticks.
Exactly.
That would be worse.
Then it really throws off the aliens canon.
Yeah.
Well,
they have to remake aliens with they all have lightsabers.
You know,
a lightsaber
would
be a good weapon versus an alien because it instantly cauterizes the wound, therefore negating the acid blood.
Yes.
Take that.
Well, there you go. That's actually not a bad thing. So why doesn't the acid eat through their skin and their blood vessels?
I don't know, because that would be stupid. If that happened, you wouldn't have any movie.
Okay, good call. Also, for some reason, it never penetrates the hull of the ship. Whatever, I'm not going there. So
it's a pretty big ship. It only goes through, like, three... It seems like it can only go through about, like, I don't know, 16 inches of steel.
Yeah.
It's corrosive, but it won't, like... It doesn't go in perpetuity.
Okay. So... And this is what exactly what you're talking about is this Rubik's Cube. They solved it and then they destroyed it because a lot of people assume that George Lucas directed the original Star Wars trilogy, and he directed Star Wars: New Hope.
Right, but the second one was a different director,
and the third one was a different director from that.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Empire Strikes Back was directed by Irvin Kershner, and Return of the Jedi was directed by Richard Marquand.
Is Irvin Kershner still around?
Richard Marquand is not. He died in 1987.
Uh-huh.
Irvin Kershner still—he died in 2010.
Damn it! So close.
So close. So this is great, and I think what this also does is, you know, people who love Star Wars, like, are we gonna get our Boba Fett movie? there's also been talk that they're gonna be developing a live action Star Wars series for ABC. Because that's been in the works for a very long time. Everybody assumed it would be on Fox because Star Wars has this, you know, relationship with 20th Century Fox. But now that it's owned by Disney, now they can really move forward on this Star Wars TV series. So why don't you slap J.J. Abrams on that?
They already did a Star Wars series on Fox. It was called Firefly.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I'm excited about it. I just wanted to talk to you, Jesse. Are there any characters that you would like to... see have their own movies, or are there any
Wedge Antilles? Definitely.
Who?
Captain Wedge Antilles.
Oh yeah.
He's basically like the leader of Rogue Squadron. They should just do a Rogue Squadron series.
Yes, they should.
That would be dope.
Dude, Rogue Squadron would be awesome.
And we all know that Star Wars is a ripoff of Akira Kurosawa, mm-hmm. and you're saying this other movie is going to be an allusion to another Kurosawa, which is Seven Samurai. Mm-hmm. So just rip off some old film footage of Japanese Zeros over Guadalcanal and call it a movie.
There you go. That's what you do. You just, because that's what George Lucas did, is he took old, I don't know what these films are, but you can find them, and they show this in the special editions, is they took like these old dogfighting movies from like the 30s and 40s, and they just did a cut-for-cut remake of those for the scenes in the X-Wings.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
So like the way that the cockpits are set up, and they run these movies side by side with Star Wars cockpit fighting scenes, like the Death Star at the end of A New Hope, and they're exactly like shot-for-shot remakes of these scenes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Homage.
Wedge
Antilles and Rogue Squadron. We need more like fighters. Like the fighter jocks are kind of interesting characters.
Uh-huh.
Biggs, Darklighter, I think was his name, which was it'd be interesting to build up Biggs a little bit more. That's like Luke's best friend from Tatooine, and he dies on the Death Star run.
Yep.
For some reason, when I was a kid, he was my favorite character. He had like one line.
Yeah, he comes in and he's like, "Hey, Luke."
Yeah, Biggs, it's been forever. It's like, I'll see you when we're done.
And then
I latched onto him for some reason.
I guess it's supposed to be the moment where Luke becomes a man.
Yeah.
That's when the war gets real.
Too bad it never really happened.
Yeah, still, Mark Hamill, we're waiting. I was thinking, you know, maybe a Cantina Band sitcom.
That was struggling. Garage band.
Yeah, or like it's like shot like a documentary, like a rock documentary as they as they go on their Tatooine tour.
Behind the music, yeah. I wonder what planet they're from.
That's a good question, because that is a weird planet. That is a super weird planet. Number one industry instrument, weird instrument making.
They're from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Turns out.
They're from New Orlania. any others? I mean, I think that the Biggs one sounds really cool. I think Wedge Antilles doing a Rogue Squadron TV show sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like that's the type of thing that would be easy to film on a smaller budget, because all you have to do is build the cockpits and throw a green screen behind them, mm-hmm. and then everything else is CGI.
Yeah, or Legos. I mean, the Star Wars Legos look pretty legit.
They do look legit.
You can just fly those around.
Well, in other Star Wars news, the White House had to have a response because there were 20,000 signatures on a petition for the U.S. government to build a Death Star.
Right.
And this is momentous for a couple occasions. First of all, the White House had to have a formal statement on the Death Star. And second of all, they have now upped the limit of petitions before a White House response to 100,000. That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
A couple of high points from this Death Star response. They say the construction of the Death Star has been estimated to cost more than $850 quadrillion.
Yeah, that's a big number.
That is a big number. The administration does not support blowing up planets.
Yet.
Just think of it as a giant drone. And why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship? And that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Well, it could just work if they would just work two 90-degree angles into the exhaust mm-hmm. port. Yeah. I think you'd be fine. Or everyone's just always saying, like, put grating over it, but just give it two right angles.
Yeah.
Grating can get blown up, and then you launch another one right down there.
Yeah. I was reading a speaking of retconning, I was reading this fan theory, and I think you've read it too, because I think you've referred to it, about how the original trilogy basically explains how R2-D2 and Chewbacca are huge spies for the rebellion.
That wasn't me. I haven't heard this.
Well, basically, There's a bunch of things. So the fan theory assumes that C-3PO's memory gets wiped after the events of episodes 1, 2, and 3, but R2-D2's memory does not get wiped.
Right.
And that he's had the Death Star plans on him all along, and that Leia was just putting in that hologram of her. And that Chewbacca, he knows Yoda. He fought in the Clone Wars for the Kashyyyk. And that he, and if you look in episode 3, the Millennium Falcon actually flies in to one of the Senate meetings. So the assumption is that the Millennium Falcon was always Chewbacca's ship. And after the events of episode 3, he decides to go undercover as a spy for the Rebellion and starts off with Lando as his cover. But Lando wants to settle down, so he arranges for Lando to lose the Millennium Falcon in a card game to Han Solo. Han Solo is none the wiser this whole time, but there's little things like when R2-D2 and Chewbacca are playing chess on the ship first thing, and it's something that's assumed that they've done millions of times before, not millions, but a bunch of times before. But this time they're just putting on a show for people because they're both spies and they're trying to keep their covers.
Right. Let the Wookiee win.
Yeah.
Wink.
It's actually a pretty great theory, and it makes me like Chewbacca so much more. Not that
I
didn't love
him before.
Yeah, he's a great character, but if you think about him as like, he did fight in the wars, he knows who Yoda is, he knows what the Rebellion is, and now he's just some dude on a ship?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make much sense. He has to be a spy. But along with that, it kind of talks about how Luke, when he has that speech, when they're prepping to go blow up the Death Star, and he's like, I used to blow up, what were the rats?
Womp rats.
Yeah, womp rats. They're not much bigger than 2 meters, and he like shrugs it off as like, it's no big deal. That everybody else in the room was like, holy shit, this kid's a great pilot, because, it's like second nature to him, because he's force attuned, but everybody else, that would be like impossible for them to do. Anyway, Star Wars.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of a blowhard move, though.
It is, but, like, he didn't know. It's just, like, second nature to him, and he's the only people he knows are his aunt and uncle. And, like...
he's an old-school kid who doesn't know
bragging
is.
Exactly. He's just like, yeah, I can make a half-court shot. Can't everybody make a half-court shot?
And everyone else is like, yeah.
Yeah.
I never used to miss them in my T-14. Damn it, I always miss them. I love that he was just rolling around in that thing, like blowing up raccoons, essentially.
Oh, man. Well, if you have any ideas, listener, if you have any ideas for our for the new Star Wars canon, please go ahead and send those over to personalarguments@gmail.com. We want your info. No, we don't want your info. We just want your input. You could also call us 360-362-0024. We want to hear your voice on this podcast, so make it happen. Jesse, are you ready for some trivia?
You know it, SA.
All right. I'm going to roll a 6-sided die. I rolled a 1, which means it's geography, baby. We are rolling off Genus 1 of Trivial Pursuit, but I got to give a shout-out to easy listener John O'Brien from New England. He's actually sending us... He's such a great listener. He's sending us new trivia questions. So those are apparently in the mail. So that's awesome.
He got so sick of it.
He got really sick of it. So we are doing Genus 1, Trivial Pursuit, 1981. But maybe we'll have some new trivia soon. Jesse.
Geography is timeless.
Geography is timeless. Yeah.
Except for political geography.
Yeah, geography never changes. Jesse, this question's for you. Listener, please play along at home. What mountain range extends from the Gulf of St. Lawrence to Alabama?
This question's for me?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be the Appalachian?
I believe that it is. I'll go with the Catskills. It's the Appalachians. You got it. Appalachians?
I think it's latch, like you're closing a latch.
I thought it was Appalache, like you're walking a dog with a leash. Anyway,
yeah.
This one's for me. What country?
Like
what country can claim Magallanes, the world's southernmost city? And God, which one is it? I'm gonna go with Chile. Oh fuck.
Argentina?
Damn it, I think it's Argentina. Oh, it's Chile, I got it.
Nice.
All right. Tied up. Jesse, this one's for you. Please play along at home. What U.S. state has the longest coastline?
That would be Alaska.
Yeah, you got it. I'm going to go with California. It's Alaska. All right, I need this one to tie. We're doing well this week, J-Dog.
Yeah.
Where is the University of Nebraska? Oh, God. College football. Don't fail me now. Nebraska, it's in... God. Ugh. I'm going to say College Station?
I'm going to say Nebraska.
Lincoln! Oh, God, the spoiler! Oh! Lincoln, Nebraska.
Should have Googled it.
Should have Googled. Well, Jesse, you win this week. You win everything this week. And because you won, we're going to do a new segment on this week's show.
Uh-oh.
This was inspired by listener Tony Blaise Serrano II. He posted on our Facebook page, says, "You guys should sing again. I was impressed with Jesse's rendition of the song from the Windows 8 commercial in the last cast. Always entertaining." So, Jesse, this is Loser Karaoke. You get to pick the song, and I'm going to sing it.
Oh, Loser Karaoke.
Yep.
Wow, this is harsh.
Okay.
Let's see. A song that I want you to sing. For some reason, I'm thinking Seven Nation Army.
A Seven Nation Army's gonna hold me back. I'm gonna break the straw. I'm flame again on the back dinner by my back. And I beat it, beat it, beat it, and then I'm out of the round hand hill. Round, round. Is that good enough?
That's good.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay, good. You don't know the words. It's Loser Karaoke. You just got to try it. You just got to do your thing.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay, so on to greener pastures here.
Okay.
Possibly in the future.
Uh-huh.
We got NASA news, buddy. We got space news.
NASA news.
We got two pieces of NASA news.
Jesse, can I so I actually made a little sound bite, and this might be something we'll be starting to insert into the shows, but mm-hmm. I have one for science. Can I play that one?
Yeah, stinger.
All right, here's our science intro.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great Scott.
All right. We're ready for science.
Good stuff. All right. So hopefully that got you in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
So NASA's going back into space.
Good.
Yeah.
That is their job.
And they've I guess, come to an agreement on a module supply,
uh-huh.
which is basically the middle part of a space shuttle.
Okay.
That provides, like, power and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so they're planning on sending this into space, launching this in 2017.
Okay. Same year as the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I actually don't know, because it's been proven that sci-fi stimulates scientific research.
It's true.
Anyway, so they're doing a lunar drive-by, essentially, unmanned.
Okay.
But here's the real news.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about this, but this is to get ready for a 2017 launch. Oh, I'm sorry, the first launch will be 2014.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So that's rapidly approaching.
Coming up.
That's the first launch test anyway.
Okay.
This is all to gear up for a 2017 launch that will be manned with 4 astronauts.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting my dates all wrong. 2021.
We are numerically challenged. We established this very early on in the show.
The moral of the podcast is numbers suck and acceptance. I've accepted the fact that numbers are hard.
Right.
Because I'm dumb.
Maths are hard.
Mathematics are hard. So 2021.
Okay.
They're going to send 4 astronauts on a loop around the moon.
Mm.
Which is the first time I've heard anything of the nature since the whole no more manned space flight.
Since way back in the 70s when we were mere middle-aged men. Yeah, that's interesting. Is there any mission here? Are they going to make a loon base? That's a short for a lunar base.
I like it, a loon base. Yeah. It's also an insane asylum on the moon.
Exactly.
with prison crowding the way it is.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying all crazy people should be in prison or on the moon. God, anyway,
move on.
Sorry. It's just going to be like a lunar loop.
So it's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's one of Six Flags' best roller coasters. No, they're just going to fly by the moon, check it out, make sure it's still there, make sure there's no Megatron on the dark side of it.
Right. Well, that's good news.
And come back. But, I mean, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they're going back. I mean, hopefully, I would feel like, that's the thing, like, our generation, anybody who was born after whenever it was 1974 or 1978 or whatever the last moon mission was, has never seen a man on the moon.
Yeah, and it would actually be pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with today's technology, you could tweet from the moon.
Like, yeah, you the could, first tweet from the moon.
Yeah, you could YouTube from the moon, baby. It'd be like a live stream on the moon. Like, people would be able to tune into the actual lunar module landing on the moon and the guys walking out. I guess they did that back in the day.
That would be cool. But they'd have to be on a delay in case one of them decides to go straight.
Exactly.
So what would you do if you could do a first thing on the moon?
Oh, God. Well, it's tough. I mean, first you got to know what you're going to say.
Right. And then you have to try and not screw it up like Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, Neil Armstrong, way to go, buddy.
Talk about one of all-time greatest screw-ups in history.
I think one of all-time greatest saves.
Yeah. I mean, he rolled with it, but if you listen to it, you can – that pause.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit.
A slight pause where you can tell he's like, just that moment. This is one small step for man. Fuck, I meant a man. I meant a one giant leap for mankind. Damn it, that didn't make sense.
I'm gonna see if I can find it.
All right.
Here it is.
It's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
It is that pause. That pause is so bad.
There's a huge. You can drive a semi through.
He's
that.
Like, oh shit.
I'm practicing.
I'm a Navy man. I'm not an actor.
They should have said a poet. Anyway, yeah, that's the thing. That is now they'll send like that was George the first screw up on the moon.
Now they'll send like George Clooney to do it. George Clooney astronaut.
Oh, it'll be James Cameron.
Yeah. Well, they'll go up there and James Cameron will be there already. He'll be like,
just
yo, dude.
Look up squid.
Took the SpaceX Dragon bomber up here. Now I'm on the moon before you.
Yeah. I also like killed like 8 dragons. I dropped bombs on them. So.
Yeah. You guys don't realize, but Dark Side of the Moon is infested with dragons.
Total dragon swarm.
Think we know where dinosaurs came from, people.
So anyway, back to the question. If you had one thing you could do the first of on the moon.
Well, you have to be the first. It has to be the first thing you do. So they've already golfed.
Right.
They've already driven a car.
Mm-hmm. The moon buggy.
Right. They've taken a step.
Right.
They've done the jumping. So it has to be the first thing. It's going to be like a signature thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it'd be fun to do something that you could put Yakety Sax music to. I bet you could ride a unicycle on the moon because of zero gravity. It's probably way easier to ride a unicycle on the moon.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
I would want to throw the first disc golf disc.
Oh, yeah. Bring a
it
frisbee.
It would go forever.
Yeah. And then it like goes in the Earth's orbit and burns up and then it hits somebody in the head.
No, it goes into Earth's orbit, but it's made out of high strength ceramic, and then it crashes, and it totally is a hole in one in the neck. That's what I would want to do.
Excellent.
Do you think, what percentage of the people who listen to this podcast know what disc golf are?
I don't know. Disc golf is a known thing. It's been around since the 80s.
It's a known thing, but I feel like it's also something you could go your whole life without knowing it.
Well, or without ever playing it. It's kind of a Northwest thing. It's the only thing that gets us outdoors.
Anyway, yeah. I got to move on to my second piece of news here, because the Mars Curiosity rover is going to be testing out its drill for the first time.
Cool.
And basically, it's gone to a part of Mars where they're pretty sure there used to be water. And if you look at it, it looks like a dried up riverbed.
Okay.
And they're calling it a... the quote here is, "These rocks were saturated with water," said Grotzinger, who called the area a jackpot unit. Which I don't know what that means.
His name is Grotzinger?
It's Grotzinger.
Is his first...
Grotzinger.
Oh, so his first name isn't Grot. I was like, now that's a Star Wars name.
I am Grotzinger.
Well, I saw that also the Curiosity rover used its little brush, brushed away the dusty surface, and turns out Mars isn't red at all. It's just dusty. Yeah. It's a regular rocky planet with a bunch of dust on it.
It's like Alice Springs, Australia after a windstorm.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, I know it. But this is a total setup for the beginning of a sci-fi movie. We got this little robot out there. It's dusting stuff off. And it's going to use this drill for the first time. It drills through. The land underneath it crumbles as it collapses into the underground cavern. The scientists back at NASA are watching the camera. And right before, because the static, Eric, what does it see?
Dragons.
Dragons! James Cameron was right.
Mars, planet of dragons.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's actually basically the plot of Ring of Fire. Get Matthew McConaughey on the blower. Leo!
Yeah. That's not...
Get Matt. Matt McConaughey is like...
Yeah,
call him.
Matt McConaughey.
Loves pecans.
That's also the Matthew McConaughey convention.
The one thing I love about 3-day passes, I keep getting older, but I could still get into MatMacon.
All 3 days.
All 3 days.
For men with short arms and no shirts. Is there...
Does he have short arms?
Yeah, he's got dinosaur arms.
Oh.
He's like T-Rex hands. He can't even clap.
So he's in on it. The dragons.
Yes, he is on it. He is
there,
on it.
He got to him.
Yeah. So that's NASA news. Any other NASA news?
That's it.
All right. Well, let's move on. Second topic this week. Jesse, I'm going to let you pick. This always turns out right. Do you want to talk about...
My butt. No, my nose. No, my butt, then my nose. Oh, gross.
Ugh. Do you want to talk about Diz video games? Or do you want to talk about... Casino time.
Let's do casino time.
All right, casino time. This also comes to us from John O'Brien, who's sending us our trivia, our brand new spanking trivia. He's saying, not
Is
sure
that
if you
trivia
guys...
about spanking?
I'm pretty sure. It better be, because I don't know much about anything else. John O'Brien says, not sure you've touched on this, but favorite casino games or opinions on some popular ones. Fresh off a trip to Foxwoods here and learned roulette and baccarat. So, Jesse, you and I we went to the casino together on your 18th birthday.
We sure did.
And we went to Chip's Casino, which was in a strip mall.
Yeah, not a strip club, strip mall.
Strip mall. It was right next to it was between a movie theater and a mountain shop.
A mountain shop where you buy mountains.
Yep. And then we trekked it out to the nice Clearwater Casino up by Bainbridge Island.
Uh-huh.
Classed up the joint a bit. But Jesse, have you done much gambling since then?
Oh, you know, not too much. I peaked that night.
Okay.
My gambling career peaked on my 18th birthday, where I evened out.
That's great, dude. Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah.
Quit while you're even.
Well, I wasn't ahead ever.
Quit while you're even.
Uh-huh. I went down 20 and then came back to 23 and then lost by 2 points. Seahawks game.
Fuck! So you went in with $20, you left with $20? That's pretty legit, dude.
Yeah. No, that's what happened on my birthday.
Well, so I've been to Vegas a few times, and each time I kind of try something new. Now, you got your standard blackjack. Blackjack is kind of the everyman's game, but it's also got pretty bad odds. And whenever I play blackjack, I get my ass kicked. So I kind of I kind of stay away from the blackjack table. Two interesting things that John brought up here on the Facebook. He said he learned roulette and baccarat. Baccarat is a very interesting game because I've actually never played it, but I know how to play it because if you read the original Casino Royale written by Ian Fleming, which is the first book featuring James Bond, there's a chapter that all it does is explain to you how to play baccarat.
Really?
Yeah, because unlike the movie where he plays Texas Hold'em, and I understand why they did that because people already know how to play Texas Hold'em, and they're already used to watching Texas Hold'em on screen, so I get that. But in the book, he plays baccarat, and Ian Fleming was like, well, if you don't know how to play baccarat, this is really going to take the drama out of this, so I better spend a chapter explaining what baccarat is. And it's basically like, from what I understand, it's basically like blackjack, except you don't bust, you just... if you go over 10, then you just get – you're trying to get 8, I think. And if you go over 10, you say you have 14, then you just have a 4.
Ah.
But I think there's like a set number of cards you can draw as well.
Hmm.
But you're trying to get a natural 8. That's basically like your blackjack. I'm pretty sure. I haven't ever played it in the casino, but I've read about it. Very adventurous, I know. Roulette, on the other hand, I have played in the casino. And I actually, very, very serendipitously, I play this at Casino Royale, which is on the Strip in Las Vegas. And it's one of the only casinos on the Strip that has $5 minimums on the tables. Everywhere else has $10 minimums. So you could save some moolah if you go to Casino Royale. That's a pro tip. It does smell like hell. And everything's sticky.
God.
But, I mean, you're gambling, so what better place to lose money? But roulette, I do have a strategy. So roulette, you can bet, you can either bet the colors, so you can bet red or black.
That's racist.
It is racist, but you can either bet red or black, and or you can bet green if you want, but green, you know, green pays out better. Red or black, it just pays you even money. Or you can bet on individual numbers on the board, which is... forgive the parlance of our times, but it's a crapshoot because that belongs to craps. But you know, you bet on 13, you only get paid off if that's on 13. Or you can bet on thirds. So you can either bet on thirds vertically, so all the numbers are laid out on the table, so you can bet on the numbers vertically, or they chop them up into thirds sideways. Well, you can bet them that way. So what I do is I bet one color, and they have a nice little handy screen up there, so you can see what the last, you know, 15 numbers were and whether they were red or black. So you can
bet. Which doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. But you're like, oh, there's been 5 reds in a row. I should bet black, and then it comes up red again.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. But so I always bet one color, and then I bet 2 of the thirds, and. I think if you win one of those, if you win one of the colors and one of the thirds, then you get a little more than what you put down back. And that's my strategy for roulette.
Uh-huh.
Got it?
Yeah.
All right. This moves me on to my favorite casino game, and that is craps. Craps is the best casino game. It's for a number of reasons. First of all, it's got the best odds of any casino game. Second of all, it's basically Settlers of Catan. That's really, if you played Settlers of Catan, you know how to play craps. Because, and everybody gets to roll the dice, which is fun. But basically,
so if I go up to the table and go, I got mud, who wants it?
Yeah, that's it. The dealer will say, I will take your mud, and you won't get it back. But basically, what happens is one person rolls a die. If they roll a 7, then everybody automatically gets all their money back that they put on the board.
Well, they roll 2 dice.
They roll 2 dice. If they roll a 7, everybody gets their money back. If they roll a number that's not 7, then they keep rolling until they either roll that number again, or they roll a 7 or 11 or snake eyes. So what you do is after they roll the number, then you can bet on all the other numbers. So it's just like Settlers of Catan. So 7 is the most common number. That's your robber. What's the next most common numbers?
8 or 6, Eric.
8 or 6. So you just put your money on 8 and 6. And then if you start winning some cash and the dice keeps rolling, then you'll bet what are the next most common numbers.
That would be 5 and 9, Eric.
5 and 9. There you go. Or you can also bet. They know that there are numbers like 2, 3, 11, and 12 that are very low, have a very low chance of getting rolled. So you can bet those all at once. So you can bet for a 1, 2, an 11, or 12 all at once. Or you can bet on specific roll combinations. So like a 3 and a 4 or a 4 and a 4 or whatever. You can bet on these.
Wait, you can bet on a 3 or a 4? 3 and 4?
Well, no. So you can bet, and a 3 and a 4 doesn't work because it's a 7. But like,
right.
You can roll. You can bet on like a natural 8, which is 2 4s.
Uh huh.
Or you can bet on a 5 and a 3. You know, so you can bet on number combinations, and each of those has its own payout as well. So it's a pretty easy game. And then once somebody rolls 7, 11, or a snake eyes, and they wipe the board, and then they start over again. So it's pretty
right.
cut and dry. Everybody gets to roll. You do start getting mad at people if they're rolling badly.
See, Eric, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I played craps once.
Okay.
Because my parents like to go to the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was over at my parents' house and they're like, let's go to the casino. I'm like, okay. Normally I like to play the appropriately Alien versus Predator slot machine.
Right.
But I was getting burned out on that because I'm the least lucky person in the world when I play slot machines.
Slot machines like are the worst, dude. I don't know how you get joy out of that. It's basically playing – like it's basically if I was playing Halo but I didn't have a gun.
Okay. So my grandma and my mom, her daughter, my grandma's daughter, are freaking awesome at slot machines.
Yeah. My mom's good at them too. She always wins.
Yeah, they walk away with money every time. One time I was in Australia, they call them pokies down there, playing the pokies with my grandma. And she had a bunch of like $1 coins because she would just save up her like $1 and $2 coins and then take it down to the club and play the pokies.
Uh-huh.
And like she gave me some money to play with. I was like, I don't know. And then she gave me like $10 or whatever. I like lost it in like a minute.
Yeah.
And it's like this is no good. But she like always leaves with money, and so does my mom. It's crazy.
Well, the trick to and you gotta put plenty of money in those things because like people are like, oh, you got to do the penny slots. Well, the penny slots you'll
the
still run out of money.
The odds get better the more lines you
right.
Buy.
The more lines you play, so you got to play max lines every time. So
I
if
do
you're
that,
on a,
and then I run out of money.
Exactly,
faster.
You run out of it super fast. I did win a pretty good jackpot. I won like a $75 jackpot playing penny slots at an Indian casino in Arizona.
Nice. Yeah, not
but.
Me. But anyway, so one time I was doing that, I got tired of it. I was like, Aaron's always talking about the craps table. And the craps table was just getting fired up. So I went over there and started playing craps. I was learning how.
Yep.
And I was losing money. Just hemorrhaging money.
Right.
And it got to the point where I was rolling the dice, right? They gave it to me.
Uh-huh.
And then I crapped out like 3 times in a row.
Yep.
Lost everyone all their money.
Great.
And then the guy next to me liked me. He gave me like $10 to play with.
Right.
Like that doesn't happen. A stranger just gives you money to play with.
It doesn't happen in Vegas, but it happens in other places.
Yeah, Washington State.
Yeah.
And then I was like, thanks, buddy. And then I burned through that super fast and had to leave.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that I learned in my trips to Vegas is if you don't have 100 times the low, the minimum bet at the table.
Uh-huh.
So like if the minimum bet is $1, I don't know where it is $1, probably Chips Casino in the strip mall. There's probably $1 minimum bets. Most places it's $5 or $10.
Right.
So if you're going to a $5 table, you need to bring at least $500 to gamble with. If you're going to a $10 table, you need to bring at least $1,000 to gamble with.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have enough time to make back any money you lose. Because the craps table is that way. If you just chill there with $1,000, you're probably going to walk away with $1,000. But you have to chill there for like a while and get the ups and downs going, right? I don't have that kind of money. And I would not feel comfortable dropping that kind of money on a table. So in the end,
unless it was like a nice oak table that,
yeah, if it was a super nice oak table, maybe
that
mahogany,
came home with you to your dining room,
right?
Then maybe.
But you know, I don't have that kind of money to gamble with, and so that's why I don't think I'll ever be a great gambler. But craps is fun. I've won some, I've lost some on craps, and when you're winning, it's great because the entire table wins together, and it's a very fun atmosphere. But when you're losing, everybody's really depressed.
Yeah. I listened to an interview. It was on a podcast called Too Beautiful to Live.
Yep.
With Ross Burbank, which is out of Seattle here. And he interviewed these professional blackjack players.
Oh, yeah.
Part of this blackjack ring. Yeah. And, like, the quirk was they were all Christians.
Yeah, there's so,
like,
actually
all
there's a documentary about them. It's on Netflix. You can watch it instantly. It's called Holy Rollers.
Yeah, Holy Rollers, that's right. And, yeah. But what's crazy about that is, like, they would go to a blackjack table and they would do, like, $2 bets until the odds were slightly in their favor and then start betting, like, $10,000.
Right.
On each hand. And the craziest part about it was they were paid hourly.
Right, and they all pooled their money and then...
right, and they were, like, investors. Like, there were people who put in money to this group, and then the people who were actually playing blackjack were hourly employees.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a pretty interesting documentary on that, and they kind of go through the dynamics because they start letting people in the group that aren't Christian, and then it gets all crazy because people think people are stealing money and all this stuff.
Right.
But it shows them they, like, get kicked out of every casino they go into.
Yeah, this guy, like, he can't go into casinos now. Everyone knows who he is, and he walks into a casino that he's never been to, and they know his name. They come up and say, "I'm sorry, but your style of play is not welcome here."
Right. Which I always think is bunk, but I whatever.
You have the right to refuse anyone.
You do have the right to refuse anyone, but you don't have the right to break their kneecaps.
I don't think he ever got his kneecaps broken.
Well, that's because he's gambling in Washington. anyway, so that's my casino spiel. I like craps. There's also Texas Hold'em. It's fun to play. But if you're used to playing it online or maybe on Xbox, if you go to a casino, those people are there every day, and it goes super duper fast. And
yeah, I would be so intimidated.
Yeah, the only thing, if you're going to do casino poker, I would do a tournament. They're usually daily tournaments. You could talk to the poker host, and they'll tell you when the tournaments are and what the buy-ins are. But if you go into a cash game, it's pretty whirlwind. And you will get eaten alive if you're not used to it.
What if you, like, what happens if you're slow?
They're professional poker players. They're there every single day. Then they're not like the guys on TV. Like, these are guys scrapping a living together.
Right.
And so,
do they yell at you?
Well, everybody knows the odds, and yeah, they'll just be dicks to you. Cause, like, this is their table. Like, it's kind of like if you're surfing and you're, like, the out of towner and you're coming in and then you're, like, going in on people's waves and stuff. It's like you either got to go with the flow or get
making money off of you.
That's true.
It's like if it's the local beach, but at the end of the day, you get to walk away with that guy's surfboard.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe you don't scare him off.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just like it's an intimidating place.
Yeah, I'm intimidated by blackjack tables. I get like math dyslexia.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm like, 5 and a 7. What does that up to? I think it's 11. Hit me. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, and that goes super fast, too, because the dealer, like, flips over the cards. It's like, boom, 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 boom. Oh, I have 21. And you're like, what? Wait.
Did you have insurance? No.
Yeah. That's actually, last time I went to Vegas, I posted that I was going there, and friend of the show, Nod Hero, sent me a message, said put $20 on red, and I did, and I won it. So
nice.
I doubled my
that
money.
That means it's his.
No. That went straight to the Casino Royale roulette table.
Bum, bum.
All right. Well, that's my casino spiel. We're going to get to some recommendations, call it a cast, but before we do, I want to let you know one more time how you can get in touch with us. You can write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @personalpodcast. You can find us on Facebook, and every week we're posting the nights that we're recording, and if you have any topics that you want us to gab about, you can write it in that thread. I want to thank James F. Cubby. He wanted us to talk about Sanderson's Memory of Light. I haven't read that series, but thanks for the input. We have Roger Dotsie on there. We got John O'Brien. We got Tony Blaise Serrano. And we got Caleb Bestvater. And he said we should talk about gun control and the NRA's comments about the president's children. Don't talk about people's kids. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I also want to shout out to Nod Hero and to our good buddy Mr. I'm sorry, I'm getting all mixed up here. Mr. Mark Griffin, who sent us how he is keeping his New Year's resolution. Mark Griffin's a guy who wrote our arrangement for our theme song that you hear at the beginning of every show. He said, this is how I'm going my New Year's Eve. I've already bound a book from scratch, and tonight I'm crafting my first gluten-free beer. And he's got this website called becauseisaidiwould.com, and it basically is a resolution every week, a new thing to do. So that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Are you going to Strange Brew, Eric?
I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
But I'll be up there next weekend, so maybe we can hang out then.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
I'm actually thinking about going to Seattle for Strange Brew Saturday.
Is that in Seattle?
No, it's in Port Townsend, but I kind of want to go to the Kangaroo and Kiwi for Australia Day.
All right, well, let's make our plans off the air.
Okay.
but we want to thank everybody who liked our Facebook page this week. Of course, we have our own Facebook page, Personal Arrogance Podcast, and we're always on the Bald Move Facebook page. But this week, big shout outs to John, Dominic, Alex Cannell, Jacob Jones Martinez, Eduardo Salazmata, and my cousin Emily McCullough. Also liked us on Facebook this week. Jason Cornelius, Chris Rogers, we love you. Jason Cornelius has an awesome Facebook picture. It's of stormtroopers holding blasters to his head. It's pretty cool. And always, we want to point you over to the Bald Move Network. We are a part of the Bald Move Network. We couldn't be happier to be a part of the Bald Move Network. And you can come and meet not only me, not only Jesse, not only people we gab about all the time like Jordy and Levi, but you can meet A-Ron and Jim Jones, the two originators of the Bald Move Network. We will all be together in one spot at the Avery Brewing Company in Boulder, Colorado. That'll be February 1st at 8 p.m. Meet us there. We'll all be wearing matching T-shirts. It'll be very, very cute. And what's happening on the Bald Move Network? Well, there's a brand new Bald Move TV podcast. This brand new podcast is bringing all of the love that you feel when you get that sound poured into your ears about Breaking Bad, about Game of Thrones, about The Watching Dead. But this is just talking about all of the shows that are on television. They're like, fuck it, we're just going to do every show now, people. Are you happy yet? So listen to the Bald Move TV podcast. It's on iTunes. You can also find it by going to the Bald Move Facebook page. And there's the Because Show. We love the Because Show. We love the ladies on the Because Show. It's like us, only much more refined and beautiful. So, and they have great stories. So I'm going to play a story from the Because Show that made me laugh. And you can get a little bit of a hint of the magic that is the Because Show. Here's the clip.
Gather around the fire, youngins. Okay, so I was in 10th grade, so mm-hmm. I was, how old was I, like 15 or 16, yeah. Something like that. And in history class, there was this group of cool kids, like all the cool kids. And then me, I was like a medium kid. I could like go between groups. And then, you know, the losers. So
I mean, you were part loser.
Yes, part loser, okay. Part cool kid. I had a foot in each world.
Okay.
So up in Washington State, you know, it gets pretty snowy. I'm from Northwest Washington. This was Nooksack Valley High School, in Everson, Washington. Yeah, so it was snowy. It was cold. They had these registers along all the windows. You know, the old fashioned metal ones that hot water flows through and they get really hot. Nice and toasty. Do you see where this is going?
Not yet.
Okay. So in the mornings, like, everyone would, right before class started, you'd get to class like 1 or 2 minutes early, and everyone would line up and kind of like put their butts against the radiators. You'd kind of sit there and, like, until you kind of couldn't stand it anymore because it was so warm and toasty on your butt that you had to, like, move away from it. So all the cool kids, being cool, got to hog all the registers. So every once in a while, I would sit on the registers too. Am I saying it right? Registers? Radiators?
Yeah, that
They're
works.
Called either, right?
Okay.
So I would get a spot if I got there early enough. But if I didn't get there early enough, all the other, you know, all the cool kids got up there. Okay, so anyway, this morning was very special because I had my period. It wasn't that special, but it was different.
It was a very special episode.
It was different
in the Wright household
than the other days that I had gone and warmed my buns and gotten a space there. Okay, so, so, you know, I go up. And I'm like, all right, there's a spot open. So I go up, get my butt on on the radiator. And then like after like, I don't know, 30 seconds or something, like the other kids are like, is that smell? And I'm like looking around like, I don't know, what is that smell? Oh my God, it smells like something's burning. What is that? No, it doesn't smell like burning. It's like a weird, I don't even know what that smell. I don't know. It was just like this whole conversation, like, oh my God, oh, what is this? Everyone was talking about it in the entire classroom. And then I like suddenly stopped talking. You know how you just like, you just feel like you get kicked in the gut with this realization that it's your...
That it's your pad.
It's your pad. Overheating. Gross. And it's the smell of like cottony, plasticky blood burning.
Gross. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, and my pad was hot.
That's funny.
And I couldn't feel it. Like, most of the other kids had moved away from the radiators because they could feel.
Because your pad stink?
No, because it would get hot.
Oh, you couldn't feel it
because
you're wearing it like a diaper.
I couldn't feel it,
oh my God, that's so funny.
So it was stinky. I couldn't feel it.
Oh, no. At least it didn't, like, spontaneously ignite.
Oh, my God.
That would be terrible.
That would be horrible.
Oh, my God, that would be the most awesome story.
I don't think anyone ever, like, put two and two together and figured out it was me.
Thank God.
I was not the root of the smell.
So that was Susan from the Because Show. And Susan, I think they knew.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Regardless, go Pioneers.
Go Pioneers.
And it's a good thing she didn't burn her nooksack.
Oh, God. So that's the Because Show. Like I said, much more refined than what we're doing here.
Is it?
But the Geraldine, Susan, you heard Susan telling her story. Amy's on there as well. We love the Because Show, and you should listen to them. And of course, Aaron and Jim Jones are doing their thing. Mad Brew's doing his thing. We're the Bald Move family. And,
yeah, it's a family.
And it's a family. So, welcome,
why should you listen? I'm working on their new, motto. Why should you listen, Eric?
Why?
Just because.
Oh.
Show. Maybe lose the show at the end.
DonBaldMove.com. all right. So we told you how to get in touch with us. I think we got all our I's crossed and our T's dotted. So, Jesse, why don't you give me your first recommendation?
Oh, right. Recommendations. Oh, yeah. It's a new podcast I've been listening to.
Uh-huh.
A new one from the Adam Carolla's podcast network. It's
right.
The Dr. Drew podcast. And it's...
Oh.
It's pretty good. They were doing one that's like Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, but it just kind of turned into Dr. Drew being nostalgic and Adam Carolla complaining about stuff that happened in the 90s.
Right. It's basically...
This one's much better because there's no Adam Carolla. So, like, in the first episode, which is out now, mm-hmm. He has like a psychiatrist call in, like a doctor, another doctor call in for like a phone kind of interview, and they take calls and stuff. But he's discussing the differences between psychiatry and psychology, and it's pretty good.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah, basically he was just retconning Loveline, so they gave him his own show.
yeah, basically, yes.
I have
grown to accept that.
Yes. Well, my first recommendation this week is also going to be a podcast. It's the Judge John Hodgman podcast. Jesse, have you heard
good
this?
Good cast.
I love it. Riding the bus, I've been able to explore. I've been able to expand my podcast horizons. So right. I started on Mabim Bam, and then I went to Jordan Jesse Go.
What? I've never actually listened to that one.
It's good because it's got Jesse from John Hodgman, the guy who plays the bailiff.
Right.
That's his show, and it's from Los Angeles. They're very LA-y, and he's got a silky smooth voice. So listen to that if you like it. But Judge John Hodgman, great show. Each week they have two a plaintiff and a defendant Skype in, and then they work out their problem. And sometimes it's very heartfelt.
I'm going to take you on this about Seahawks.
Let's do it.
About sports.
All right. Jesse, what's your recommendation?
Well, you're running out of time for this recommendation, so you better get on it within the next couple weeks, and that's drinking Rainier beer while watching NFL.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
No, the championship games are the best games of the year.
We're missing the Super Bowl.
Are we going to actually miss it?
We're on a plane, buddy.
I didn't know if we were going to be able to watch it or not.
Yeah, or we might be able to watch like the first 15 minutes, but that's just the national anthem.
So. Well, whatever. The Super Bowl is stupid, but the championship games are good.
I hate every team that's in the championship game.
Bird Bowl, baby. Just root for a Bird Bowl.
I'm rooting for the only team that I have a semblance of like for, and I know everybody's going to hate me about this, but it's the Patriots.
The Pats. Eric, the Bird Alliance is strong.
Dude, I'm not going to root for the freaking Falcons after they beat us like that.
I would love for them to beat 49ers.
Yeah, that's true. The 49ers, I just hate them all. I hate them all so much.
I hate Colin Kaepernick's stupid face.
Oh my God, I've always hated Colin Kaepernick.
With his weird nose and his tattoos that are like font.
And he's just as whiny as Harbaugh. And this is the thing about Colin Kaepernick, because you know I'm a Boise State fan. Colin Kaepernick was a quarterback for Nevada that beat Boise State, prevented them from going to the Fiesta Bowl. I hate Colin Kaepernick. I hate him so much.
Yeah, so you can root for the Falcons. Although, how funny would it be, though, if it was a bobble?
A bobble?
Yeah, a bobble. If the Ravens and the 49ers go.
Why is it a bobble?
Because it's Harbaugh's.
Oh, I would hate that. I hate both of them so much. I thought you were saying because Baltimore starts with ba.
Oh, and no, because of the ba.
Yeah, what I
hate. B-A-U-G-A.
I hate them both. And the idea of one of them inevitably winning the Super Bowl would just drive me insane.
Whatever. Anyway. I'm rooting for a Bird Bowl, and you'll be watching football on Sunday.
Yeah. I might be buying a mattress. I don't know. I might have more important things to do. So John O'Brien, this is my recommendation. He also posted on our Facebook page, said, or no, this wasn't John O'Brien. This was Roger Dotsy. Bringing it back. Says, best spring seasonals. I've never had an exciting one. Roger, my favorite spring seasonal is the Northwest Red Chair Pale. Red Chair Northwest Pale Ale from Deschutes Brewing Company. It is the best. It is delicious.
That is... It's one of my favorite beers of the year.
Period.
I mean, Mudslinger is good too.
Yeah, you're gonna get a lot of brown ales.
Yeah, I like brown ales. I like nut brown ales. I like the Irish style stuff that comes out. So right. I don't know, but definitely Red Chair.
Yeah, Red Chair is the best. All right, Jesse, we're running long in the tooth, but you have anything else you want to say?
Go Hawks! 2013-14 season Super Bowl champs, calling it now.
All right. So before we go, Christopher Hannigan sent us a message. He said, the old theme song for the show is awesome. I annoy the hell out of my coworkers trying to mimic it. Is there any way you could bring it back from time to time? And Christopher, this one's for you. We'd like to remind you that wherever you go...
And whatever you do...
Please, stay arrogant.